where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hey, Andre, it's Aaron. How's it going?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So how'd you think last night went?
I thought it went well.
All right.
Can't complain too much. Just we're further in the conversation, and I know it's not going to be done in one, you know, in one setting.
No, for sure. So. For sure. Did you see the tweet I put on about an hour before the chat started?
I hadn't. What happened?
And basically, I was reading in this book, so I'm a big fan of the Ron Clark Academy. Do you know much about that place?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been out there. I've got all of Ron's books. And then Kim wrote a book about 2 years ago. And I was rereading one of her chapters. And it talked about we hate it when people talk about being colorblind. Because if you're colorblind, then you don't see culture. And so what we try to do is call our school a safe place to be able to have all these conversations. And it was like, wow, we're about to have this conversation that I was honestly a little worried about, and this was just such a great little find to see again, you know, calling last night's Twitter chat a safe space that we could have this discussion, you know, without, I don't know, without being like hit on or anything like that. Not, and hit on's not the right word, but I thought it went pretty darn good, and I think it had to do with your phrasing of the questions. I just thought it was a pretty good chat to get the ball rolling is all.
Good. That was the objective. You know, going in, I know it's, for me, I know it's difficult for many to even have the conversation. And then from the other end, I don't want it to be just a complaining, well, with us black people, we as black people are, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, on the reverse end, there are some issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah, and I saw your tweet about so many folks DMing you. Is this real? Is this real? And when that first question came up, the Dirty Sanchez baby thing, I thought, what on earth is he doing? Like, this isn't real. But when you said that, I was like, man, okay. I guess I couldn't imagine in my brain somebody saying that, but I don't doubt that it happened.
Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine being in that conversation. It's just crazy to me. Where did you pull all your experiences from?
Here and there and everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many good friends, and we talk just like other teachers. And, you know, I've experienced a lot of them, but I didn't want to put all of my experiences in.
Sure.
So I threw it out to some of the homies, and they gave me so many. Like, I could have done 25 different scenarios.
Wow.
Like, for real. Yeah.
Wow.
And there still would have been more. Like, there were people who were like, hey, I got some if you want me to. And I was like, I think I've got enough. As a matter of fact, I know I've got enough for now. So let's just... and then even then, I was like, hey, we could... I had 10 ready. But of the 10, I picked 4.
Okay. Well, and I love that after... After each of the questions, and we're into the answering, you know, you were like, and here's some more information if you want to find out about, you know, microaggressions. Here's some more information if you want to find out about, and I just thought that that was awesome. I mean, it was really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I had, when we did the school-to-prison pipeline, you know, I had thrown something out there, and then you and I had had a conversation, and Vanessa and I had had a conversation as well, like, where did I go wrong here? And, you know, there's a subculture of people who feel like it's not up to them to have to teach me what I was doing wrong. And so I saw some of that happening last night as well. And, you know, I have done a lot of reading since that, since that Twitter chat. So I was really excited to see what could come of this one as well. And to see if I had grown, you know, in any way, shape or form also. But I think I still have a lot to learn too. So.
Yeah. Which we all do. And that's, that's the good thing. Like, I've done so many of these Twitter chats now, not just Oakland Ed, but trying to get my name out to other ones.
Sure.
And I kind of see how it all, and I'm like, there's growth is everywhere, because the issue that I'm having in Oklahoma, or the issue that I've had in Oklahoma, they're different than Wyoming.
Sure. And I bet they're different than in Chicago, or, you know.
I hadn't considered. I was like, well, these are universal. They're supposed to be universal. But in Wyoming, it's a lot of rural areas.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness, I never considered that.
Yeah.
Well, or the last week, I did a BC Ed chat.
DC?
So B as in beta.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Columbia.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, and their issues are way different, too.
Like, so give me some examples.
Haven't considered these things globally.
Wow. Do you have any examples?
So, like, over there, they're talking, the dialect is a little different, you know.
Okay.
And so, some of the teachers, if you don't have the perfect dialect, you are lesser than.
Oh.
And it was just based off of dialect. And so I was like, wow, British Columbia, wow, okay. And so I'm thinking to myself, if I were over there, or if I was living over there, they would look at my children less than, because we don't talk like the Brits, or we're not able to switch it on and off, because some of them, they can switch it on and off very well.
Interesting.
For example, Thor. The guy who plays Thor, I do believe, is from overseas. No. He was in Thor. Idris Elba.
Okay.
There's two or three actors who are in the Marvel Universe, but they're Brit. And they came over for the job, and they got the job, and they could turn it on and off. They could talk American with the twang and the Southern accent, and then they could just flip it, and then they could talk at the King's English. And amazing. And so if you can do that, you're highly regarded.
All right. That's...
And so I was like, okay, that's different. That is something I hadn't considered. I'm just thinking education. I'm thinking academic. I'm thinking, but no, if you're able to turn it on and switch, then you're amazing, or more amazing than okay. That was one of the examples. Like, I got to learn how to talk like the Brit, because I just want to, because they talk so nice. They
do speak so, even if it's not real proper, it sounds more proper, eh?
Yeah.
So what was your favorite question last night?
I actually love the scenarios.
Okay.
Any of those scenarios, every one of those scenarios I've experienced. Every one of those scenarios, I've seen others experience as well. So for me, the scenarios make it real. It's one thing to talk theory. It's one thing to talk strategy. But then when you put it in a real situation and you say, you know, this is a real scenario, the Dirty Sanchez one, for example, that's a real scenario. And so it was almost like the 8 stages of grief in some of the comments. Where they were shocked at first, like, oh my goodness, then they turned to anger, and then acceptance, you know, then they're like, okay, well, this is what I would have done. And so just that exposure to them actually seeing that these scenarios happen in Oklahoma, question 2, question 3, question 4, those were really my favorite, just to see some of those answers from that.
Were there any surprises for you last night?
I had a few people who hadn't heard of microaggression at all.
Wow.
They had never heard of the term. They just thought racism was just that. But they never understood the micro of the racism. One or two, you know, direct messaged and said, thank you very much, because I had known, you know, family members or friends or whatever to be racist. But I had never considered some of these small, subtle things that could seem racist in somebody else's point of view.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes back to those micro insults or those micro invalidations.
So that was something that was new to me, was how many other versions of the micro were available. Like, I had heard of microaggressions, and that one I was easy. I was like, okay. But when, like, the micro insults, I was like, okay, I guess that could be a micro. And so that was when you did the question about what is something you learned and then what's something you confirmed. That was what I learned. I was like, I had no idea that there were so many variations of the micro, you know, atrocities that could happen. So are you going to host another one on this topic, or wait to see what else comes around?
Well, that's where I overanalyze everything. And I'm a person who always overthinks as well. And so I'm saying to myself, this is now the third of a black man talking about race in education. And so now I don't want to be perceived as the black dude as far as talking about race. It's more than just race. I mean, we could talk tech.
We can talk strategies,
culture. We could talk all these other things. But I won't call it pigeonhole, but I don't want to be pigeonholed into just that's Andre Dowdy talks about race. Yes, race is just as important as building classroom management, as having key leadership strategies. And then on the flip side of that, I'm a person who likes to have fun, too. I like to use memes. I like to use GIFs. So I don't want to be the pigeon. I don't want to be pigeonholed or typecast as Andre Dowdy. His thing is race.
Right.
So that's something that I'm really chewing on, because it's a topic that needs to continue to be developed. But it can't be just the black dude developing that conversation.
I totally understand. You know? And you and I know each other through tech. You taught my tech integration class. And I feel like to help maybe put a little bit of an end to your overthinking, for the people that know you, and a lot of people know you, you are Oklahoma famous for darn sure. For the people in Oklahoma that know you, I think they realize that about you, that you're not a one subject person. And so I hope if there's anything that you take from this conversation, it's that you are more than just this conversation.
That's awesome. I didn't know I was Oklahoma famous. Okay.
Oh, you're Oklahoma famous. Are you kidding me?
That's funny. I don't want the fame.
Well, I really appreciate it. And thank you for taking the time for this phone call so we can throw it into the podcast.
Absolutely. This is what we do. And that was one of the hashtags we put at the bottom. I know it's not a popular hashtag, but in order for us as teachers to really help today's generation and to help these millennials and all these students that we have, we got to grow. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be rough sometimes. It's going to be some stuff that you want that you don't like. I call it the gristle meat. So sometimes you're going to have to chew on some gristle meat, and it's tough, and it doesn't taste, it looks fatty, but it's worth it. And we as teachers, we got to chew on the gristle meat sometimes, and we got to have those rough conversations in order to grow together. So that's where the grow, and let's grow and let's learn together.
Thank you so much, Andre.
Absolutely.
All right. Welcome back to the Okla Said podcast. Excuse me. The official Okla Ed podcast. And this Twitter chat was all about the micro... how would you say that, Scott? The micro-offensive... The micro-atrocities that happen...
Andre called it the subtle racism in education.
The subtle racism. Okay. And so I like that. I do think that some of these things can go, outside of race. Are you a part of the Voxer group, the BAMF Voxer group still?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Did you see Anthony Purcell's tweet?
Yes, his share, when he shared just a few. Yeah, I read that just maybe, well, right before I talked with you right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's issues so no matter what's going
on.
So I
think it can go outside of race, but this one was some of the things that he's come up with and kind of a piggyback on another chat. And so his questions were centered around race, but I do think that some of this can go outside of race, especially when you're dealing with LGBTQ and, you know, just...
all those different people.
My,
while you're working on your microphone, I also want to share that Andre cheated big time with how he shared his questions.
Oh, yes, he did, because it makes it really hard for us here.
He was a big time cheater. Now, having said that, all of the links to how Andre phrased everything is on the landing page for our podcast today. And so when Aaron and I are going through these questions, we may give a brief overview of what he shared and then what his question was. But his slides conveyed a lot of information. His
tweets. You had to definitely get in there and read about it to be able to give an answer mm-hmm. or think on it. So
yeah. But question one wasn't that way. What was question one?
Define microaggression.
There you go.
And so, yeah, microaggression. This is something that I've heard a lot here lately in the news, in different media articles and such. And microaggression is the subtle tendencies of the words that we use to put others down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or even maybe body language. You know.
Okay.
I was trying to think. I know that Andre has done a lot of reading on this. He had several excellent resources to share in there also at the bottom of the show notes. But, as we talked about that, my definition was something along the lines of the small things that we do that show how we truly feel about somebody different or other than us. And not necessarily a big, you drink from this water fountain, I drink from this water fountain situation, but my mannerisms or my body language or the more subtle things, the more quiet things that still convey that image of, I think I'm better than you because of how you look, how you act, how you behave, whatever.
And so I have a lot of microaggression towards millennials. Uh-oh. And this is something I know and I'm trying to change. Just so you know, I'm putting myself out there here. Okay. Millennials have been proving me wrong here lately.
Good deal.
But this is something that that I know I have. I know Deborah Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
She is at DJ Thornton. Her answer on this I thought was really good and to the point. She says, sarcasm or other means of putting someone down without seeming to or sometimes intending to. I think that's right. And I do think some of it is, you know, what's going on in our brain that we don't necessarily, even know that we're communicating sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. I think of it too as are those instances where 2 hours later I'm like, man, I really shouldn't have said or done or acted how I just said, did, or acted. Blue Cereal had a great tweet here. He said, microaggressions are often hard to pin down. The boundary between them and oversensitive can be tricky.
True.
I think sometimes we can be oversensitive, but I think sometimes too, there's a real intention on somebody to put a person in their place, as it were. And I'm not cool with that.
No, and I think we'll see that in some of the questions as we get to them, like question two.
Question two. So there's a whole slide that goes with this and a scenario basically where two teachers are colleagues, one is Hispanic, one isn't, and there's maybe a disparaging remark shared out loud towards the Hispanic colleague. In my view, it's a disparaging remark.
Sure.
And so, again, the slide is in here. But the question is this. People who hear these things are shocked. And we've all heard things that we arch an eyebrow and go, that is inappropriate. And we're one of those people. Why is the scenario described as a micro assault? And I really liked what T. Styles had to say right here. Travis Sloat, he said, this ain't a micro assault. This is full-on idiotic, racist, and targeted dialogue.
Yeah. No, and that's that too. I was like, is this real? I mean, I really did ask him. I wasn't one of the ones that DM'd him. But in my brain, I was thinking, what is this real? And he said, yeah, this is real. These are things that either he has experienced or in just conversations. And we hear that in his interview here, but just conversations with some of his buddies, you know, these are things that have come up. And mm-hmm. I thought, what? And so obviously it's real. But I just could not believe some of those things that were coming up. And anyway, I really liked, though, what Rick had to say on this one. How is it micro? That's one that's blatantly racist. The action creates a hostile work environment and should result in a reprimand.
And he would be tweeting from at Grindle Rick for this particular tweet. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
That one did not seem subtle at all.
No. But maybe it is. I don't know. Lived experiences are different among all of us. And sure, so what we would consider subtle may not be subtle to somebody else and vice versa. Question three.
All right. Question three. So this one, we have a whole bunch of information, again, packed into this slide about micro assaults. And it's talking about a different school that we work out, that we would be working at, and a resource officer only targeting Black and Hispanic students, even though white students make up 70% of the population. And so the overall question is, what steps could be taken to provide a better equity for this scenario? And I thought Jason Bings hit it on the nail on the head pretty good. He said sometimes as simple as maybe just every 10th student mm-hmm. a day or every 11th student could eliminate racial profiling.
Right.
And I think that that's good. I mean, I think obviously if there is an actual racial profiling going on, this is no good. And it seems clear in this scenario that there is. But if you're inclined to racially profile, putting some sort of a regulation on your searching maybe might help.
Right. And in this scenario, although there were 70% of the students that attended the school were white, none of the Asian or white students were being searched. It was only the Black and Hispanic right. students. So, yeah, so that's a tricky situation. Ms. S, who is at Kindergarten Rocks, she said officer training, a meeting with admin, a student board to give students a voice would be great ways to do that. And I think we forget how impactful our students can be, even at the earliest ages, when we include them in things like this. They can handle this.
No, I totally agree with you. And sometimes they see it a little more clearly than we do.
Right. Yeah. With sort of an innocence to it. Question four is a situation where a white couple are leaving a play and they're in the parking lot of the school, and they see a Hispanic pair walking towards them, and the man checks his wallet. The white man checks his wallet. The white female grabs onto her purse to make sure that nothing untoward can happen. So the question is, how was this interaction a micro insult? And one of the things also that Andre said here, you make eye contact with the Hispanic parent, his countenance changes into sadness as he walks towards you. I found myself sometimes with people I trust doing the same thing, and I'm like, ugh, I'm such a bad person.
What do you mean? Explain that.
Well, I was in an extremely safe place. And I don't want to share more details than that, but in walked a person who was different than me, and I immediately picked my phone up and stuck it in my pocket. This gentleman meant me no harm. He was trustworthy. He was completely, I was completely at ease the whole time. Just out of, I don't know. Maybe it was, hopefully in hindsight, it was just me putting my phone in my pocket so I didn't leave it, but it happened as he stepped into the room and approached me. And so it was just, with anyone, it wasn't threatening or anything like that. And then we had a joke about it, but I still felt bad that I reacted in that way. Rick Cobb again at Grindle Rick, he said, it's possible something subconscious, but still insulting. It says, you don't belong here. And then following that, he said within a separate tweet, that said, my wife clutches her purse more tightly when anyone is approaching. We can't forget how women are treated, you know. And I think he brings up a good point there, just in general, about how we have to harp with our female friends that you always have to be hyper vigilant about your environment.
For sure. So I liked Adam Rogers' tweet on this. He said, you instantly assumed the Hispanic parent was going to do something bad to you, you know? And that's when he said, we've all heard the little thing around the word assumed, mm-hmm. and you need to take the ass out of you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we assume things, sometimes our assumptions make us a big ass.
Right. We just aren't good at that. You should never assume.
Right. All right. So we are on question five. And so question five, I thought I was going to have it up, but I didn't. Do you remember what the... Yeah.
What's the
scenario in this one?
The scenario is in a teacher's class, the scenario is they're doing a group assignment and the teacher did a really quick formative assessment. She asked a young lady who has a obviously non-white name to share. She was reluctant, didn't want to. She did stand up. She gave her solution. The teacher was distracted during this particular student's answer. When she got done, she sat down, and the teacher asked another student to stand up. She paid attention to everything that he said, nodded in agreement, made eye contact the whole time, and then commented at the end that it was a great answer. So the question, So the question is, Aaron?
Yeah. So the question is, how did Mrs. Anthony's body language convey micro invalidation? And gosh. She showed that not all of them were equal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I said something here about every student deserves feedback. And regardless of color or gender, you've got to, when your students are giving you what you're asking for, validate them.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta give them that feedback. And that was an insane scenario again. And several people said that they see this, and I guess I feel really blessed in my situation because I'm on an island and I don't have to see these things happening regularly. And that's why I guess they feel so out of place to me. But you've got to validate your students.
Right. And your tweet came from at Mr. Rogers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you very much. At Mr. Rogers Tech. Two in a row for Adam. Sorry, world. You all have things to say. I just so happened he had two in a row that I really liked.
Amber McMath, who is at Mrs. McReading, said, how do we hold up the mirror here? I want someone in my class to reveal this to me. Is it on each of us to do, or do we ask for help? And I think that's important to recognize as teachers that we all have holes in what we do. And when somebody else can come in and be honest with us and help us be better teachers all the way around, I think that's super important. Super important.
No, I do too. I think setting up a video in your classroom, you know, from time to time, mm-hmm. I make videos of myself teaching my students in real time all the time so that I can then place them in a Google folder for my parents if they're trying to help their students at home. They can go back and watch the video that I shared during the day or that I made during the day, and they can use that to then help their kiddos. Right. So I record myself all the time. I hate myself sometimes whenever I record myself, but it's typically not because I'm invalidating or ignoring a student. Right. But I think that it helps me in my craft, you know, to become a better teacher as well.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And so recording yourself can definitely shine a light on how you act around your students.
Right. For sure. Question six was, what are some actions you can do when microaggressions occur around you? And one of the things that I shared here is that if you are silent, then you're accepting the situation. You have to speak out when you see these things. And Vanessa Perezzi, who I love, her comment was that, but sometimes I am tired of speaking out. Like I can't do it anymore. And I understand that as well, because, again, and that's where our situations, are different. And so if you're in a minority group that has to constantly speak out, that's gotta be exhausting, right?
Oh gosh. Yeah.
But on the other hand, as somebody that isn't in a minority group, if I see it, I can't let it go. I need to say something, which I know can be a sticky road to walk sometimes.
For sure. I really liked what Aaron Baker had to say here. Mm-hmm. He said, don't call out. Instead, call in. Invite mm-hmm. the aggressor to do a better way within the context of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so calling out sometimes may offend as well. Right. I like his calling in and saying, hey, let's talk about this.
Right.
You were an aggressor here and you need to, you know, pay attention to your words because they mean things.
Right. Rhonda Harlow, who is at Rhonda Harlow, said, place a light on them so conversations, reflections, and refinements of practice can begin. And I think that's important. We should always be looking for ways to refine our practice and make sure that that we're doing the right thing.
For sure.
Andre also shared a slide about what we can do as well. So,
oh no, and he had several slides of what this actually means and mm-hmm. going deeper into some of these things. And if you wanted to go out and look, this whole chat, the archive that Mrs. Waters has captures some of those other slides as well. They were really good.
Yeah, and I put this, and we also had links back to Andre's tweets on the show notes, so you can see what okay. those slides said as well.
Perfect.
Question seven.
Question seven. Yeah. Being proactive can take you, you know, what is being proactive, basically? Being proactive, can you provide some examples to better frame the conversation so that microaggressions don't occur? And I thought there were so many really great tweets on this. You know, it's hard to call out people sometimes, but finding ways to start those conversations, it like you said, if we don't, you know, shed some light on it or don't have a reaction asking them to stop, then we're a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I liked what Rob Miller said here, and he is at Edge Blogger. He said, when others accuse us of making a racist comment, say, I apologize, you may be right. Help me understand, and then shut up mm-hmm. and listen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whenever you come back defensively, sometimes that makes it even worse. Just right. shut up and listen to what they have to say. They may be fully right.
Yeah, indeed. And Andre also posted in here a lot of different ways that you can frame the conversation so that you can have a difficult conversation without starting off with somebody feeling intimidated or threatened from either side. I mean, I love his first one. I acknowledge I'm not well versed with blank.
Yes.
I feel like that can just diffuse so much energy just right off the bat. What do I need to understand about blank in order to whatever? And he had some great things in there to share as well. I loved what Natasha Jefferson, she is at Jefferson_first. She said, before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind?
Right.
I need to follow those words myself.
So. I think what grade she teaches. I know that there are some kindergarten classrooms that I've visited here lately that have that think. I've seen it in the fifth grade classroom where I interned as well. And so I think that that's pretty popular, think. You're right. We need to make this kind of our filter before we then go out and speak in the world.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
For sure.
So I loved what Val Robertson, she is at Reebling. Oh, I guess question eight. I need to share what question eight is. I got pulled an errand. So Andre then said to please share any resources you have on microaggressions. And I don't have any. But he shared several and he put a googly link in there to a lot of those. So again, check the show notes for that particular tweet or just scroll through Andre's timeline. He tweets a lot of great stuff. Val Robertson, who is at Rambling_reader, said reading Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together was eye-opening for me.
Oh yeah.
And then she shared a link to that. So I think sometimes these chats can get expensive because sometimes the books that come out, you just want to buy them all, and that's hard to do.
Yeah, for sure. I liked what Lori Hoig, and she is at Lori for Learning. It was pretty simple. Just become an active listener and a thoughtful speaker. And maybe she's putting the think into a smaller you know, a smaller nugget for us to chew on, but just active listener and a thoughtful thinker. I mean, a thoughtful speaker. And I think if we can all agree to live by that, shoot, we'd probably solve some problems.
Indeed, we probably would.
Question 9. Share something you learned and something that was confirmed for you tonight. And so, do you remember what you posted on this one?
Gosh, I can't remember. I feel like I always learn a lot when we have conversations like this, because again, my lived experience is different from yours, which is different from anybody else's. And so these conversations for me are always impactful.
I remember I learned there were a lot more micro words than I thought there were. Mm. I had heard of microaggressions, but I had not heard of the micro insult, the micro, you know, the different other versions of the micros that we've seen here tonight, micro actions. I hadn't seen those, but they totally make sense that they would exist. You know, that was definitely something I learned. And something that was confirmed for me was that I still need to be a part of these conversations, especially if I'm still learning, and I hope we all are.
Right.
Continuing to be thoughtful in this topic will definitely that was, you know, something that was confirmed for me.
I think I do know that one of the things I shared was that we need to continue to have these conversations so that we're mindful of them always, because we can have, you know, if we have this conversation now and then we don't have it for another 2 years, then everything that we could apply from a conversation like this starts to fade into the background, into our faded memories, because we're not thinking about it. And I think this spring has been good for OCLA-Ed because we've had several strong conversations on things that are important to us as educators that don't always come up when we're talking about professional development for educators.
Right. So I really liked what Rob Miller had to say, and again, Edge Blogger. And then there was a reply by Jen Williams. So if you don't mind, I've got two on this one.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. So he said, tonight's OCLA Ed Chat confirmed that for too many years of my life, I was ignorant and dismissive of other people's feelings. And I thought, yeah, gosh, for sure. And then Jen came in on the backside and said, what may be worse is for too many years, I didn't think I was. Crawling out of that cave was particularly rough and the light was blinding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you step back and think about, again, me on the millennials, when you think about some of the things that you're holding aggressiveness or aggressions toward, and then somebody turns around and proves you wrong, that light can be blinding, you know, for sure. It's definitely something we have to work on, and we have, and once we know it exists, then we can for real work on it.
Right. I loved what Susan Ray had to say, SUZANWARY. She said, we need to address this more often in our schools. This chat is a great start.
Yeah. You know, I really love the way Andre put these questions together. Mm-hmm. I thought, again, while I couldn't believe some of them, while some of them felt unbelievable, it's not like that I don't want to believe them. While some of them felt unbelievable, the fact that they really happen is proof that this conversation needs to still, you know, exist and continue. So,
right.
What was your favorite question of the night?
My favorite one was the definition of microaggression. I think that's a super critical starting point, because if we're not aware of what those things are, how in the world can we address them?
For sure. I really liked the last question. Again, makes you think. It leaves you something to go out and do homework. And so I like the making us think.
Mm-hmm.
My boom sauce tweet of the night was yours, so go for it. She's
you did
good.
That, you did that last week.
I know. I can't help it. There are a lot, but you know, when you find one that's got charm and intelligence behind it as well, it's really good. Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a reply. My tweet followed Claudia Swisher's, actually. So at Claudia Swisher in talking about the students going through the scanner, she said, "I think I'd go through the scanner right after my students of color invite others not targeted to join me." And then this was my boom sauce, is at Amy Bednarz. She said, "I would speak up. I would never regret speaking up and speaking loud to protect my students." And I think a lot of teachers feel that way. They would go to the ends of the earth for their students. And this is just one way to do that.
Right. All right. So next week, we're not sure of the topic yet. We know Jason James, and he is at James409Jason, will be doing this. I'm trying to get a hold of him. I went ahead and sent him a message through Twitter to see, hey, what are we talking about this week, and see if he'd, you know, be willing to have a conversation with me. So we're not sure what's going on, but we do know. What do we know?
We know that he's the superintendent at Alex.
Oh, I was thinking Alex that the schools. Chat was going to be at 8 p.m. Oh, on Sunday.
It's always on Sunday at 8,
Aaron. That's why we know that. We know it.
It's every Sunday at 8.
It is. All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma.